This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you, December 12th, 2014. Not going to be too much longer that we're going to be writing that on our checks, or if you go to the bank and fill out a deposit ticket or anything like that. 2015 is maybe 3 weeks away. Hard to believe, Mr. Pillar.
Hey, Jim. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm good. It's very nice to see you
it's
again.
It's good to be back.
It's
like riding a bike. Yeah, it's basketball season, and everyone that knows.
Have you been on the court a couple times?
Yeah. Last week, we were down in Larry Birdland at Springs Valley High School, and it was a torrential downpour getting down there, but Orleans Bulldogs and Springs Valley Hawks basketball night, and it was great. So I'm excited, and we'll talk about it later in sports. But I'm excited about basketball here in Monroe County this weekend. We've got some good stuff with all of our teams involved. So
yes,
excited
to
talk about that. We've got a big sports weekend with the Hoosiers playing at home. We got Colts football on a big game at home. But it's the holidays. It's the holiday seasons, and I know one of your favorites is celebrating an anniversary, a birthday, if you will. So that's kind of exciting. We'll talk about it in a little bit.
I'm just a little bit hokey, and I'm totally fine with it.
You're a lot of bit hokey, but we love you for it.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, it's nice to have you back in the studio.
It's good to be back.
You have been missed. As Mr. Pillar said, lots of stuff to talk about here on the show this week. There's plenty of news action. You know, a couple weeks back when we had the fine ladies, Marty Van Ness from Butterball Turkey, and then we did the replay the weekend of Thanksgiving, was when Mayor Cruzan announced that he was going to not run for another term. So we haven't really highlighted that on the show, and that's kind of died out a little bit in the news. But as we get into 2015, there's still a few things coming up. It's just interesting.
Well, all I would tell you is that you've got my vote, Jim.
Thank you. I actually met two people who I will not name names or anything like that, but we all sat around and discussed if we were to become mayor, and the two other gentlemen are much more qualified and potential actual candidates. I was like, you just throw me on some committee and I'll get your back.
Right. Culture, obviously.
You know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah,
you
obviously.
Do what you got to do. Did you make it to the Canopy of Lights?
It was wonderful. All of the in-laws were in. All of the brother and sister-in-law came down from Indianapolis. In-laws came in from Boston. We had a great time. Our very own WGCL Keith Klein was there emceeing as always. A beautiful night, and obviously the lights are on, so come on down if you've not seen them yet. Gosh, you're listening to the show. Come on down afterwards on your way to one of the basketball games around here and check it out. It's truly one of the highlights. We Julie Warren and I arm wrestled over the summer, if you recall, about what was better, Canopy of Lights or Taste of Bloomington. She obviously won the arm wrestling match, but we could never really come to a decision on what was better out of the two. But they're two definitely – you know, I know obviously Lotus is big and Arts Fair on the Square and Farmers Market and so many other fun things that we do here. Hoosiers Outrun Cancer. We go on and on and on. But boy, Canopy of Lights, if that doesn't put you in the holiday mood and get your eggnog running, I don't know what else to tell you to do.
Well, last Saturday evening, I have a buddy that lives up in the Greenwood area, and he texted me and he said, I've got a few tickets to the Art Craft Theater tonight for A Christmas Story.
Oh, cool.
On the big screen. So two friends of mine, Derek and Amy, we drove up to Franklin last Saturday night, and the Art Craft Theater is right downtown. It was also their lighting of their courthouse square. And as nice as Franklin is, it wasn't nearly the spectacle that Monroe County Bloomington Canopy of Lights is, but very nice. But 625 of us crammed into this theater to see A Christmas Story. And my buddy Brian, who got the tickets, actually won a leg lamp. They do a door prize drawing beforehand. They put on a little skit. It is like a little play / old time radio kind of thing that they do. And then they showed a Bugs Bunny cartoon and all.
Oh.
I mean, it was an experience.
It's a major award, you know.
It was.
It was a major award. It wasn't just a door prize. It was a major award.
So I'm already trying to figure out where can I put a classic movie theater in Bloomington and show the, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark or stuff like that. But.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Be cool.
Anyways, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. That's where you find out all the information about the shows. You can check out all the information there, as well as WGCLradio.com. If you miss any of the past shows, everything is there, plus other GCL programs, including Your Money with David Hayes and In the Zone and all of the Joe Smith reports, things like that. So make sure that you check that out. While you're at WGCLradio.com, of course, we are streaming live there 24/7, so make sure that you have that saved in your favorites on your smartphone, your laptop, your tablet, whatever the case may be. Are the kids getting ready for winter break?
You know, I'll tell you, that's interesting that you mentioned that. There's a couple of things. First of all, the weather hasn't gotten so cold,
right.
And without the snow, I don't think it's hit quite yet.
Right.
And I think the other thing is, you know, remember, we're just a week and a half, two weeks now, I guess, finally, week and a half coming back from a 1 week Thanksgiving break. And so I think when you have one off for Thanksgiving, then three on, then two off, I don't think they're there yet. Now, that doesn't mean by the middle of next week they're not going to be ready to get out the door. But, you know, the forecast, obviously, we'll talk about a little bit later. It's supposed to be nice the rest of this weekend. Mm-hmm. And then most of next week looks like it's going to be pretty decent, too. So I think as soon as it gets really cold, then it'll hit. But at the same time, they'll be there. They'll be ready to go.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's give you some forecast and local news. And then later on the show, all your sports updates as well. Plus a favorite holiday character turned 50 years old from television. And if you haven't heard about it, well, we'll tell you about it in a couple minutes. Stay with us, Mr. Piller, Mr. Inman. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller with you on your Friday evening, December 12th, 2014. Or if you're catching us on the replay Saturday morning, glad you are waking up with us and starting your weekend off here at WGCL and WGCLradio.com. Friday night, of course, is the big high school basketball game of the week. Who's playing tonight?
We got Southport at South, Jim. Huge.
We will talk more about that.
We'll talk about that in a little bit, but huge game.
Joe Smith and the crew will have the pregame at 7 o'clock tonight, or is tip-off at 7 o'clock? I don't know.
Tip-off 7:30, so Chalk Talk will be 6. Might be 7. But yeah, it just kind of sunk in a little bit ago. We were just chatting here. We had the Thanksgiving thing. We had the turkey lady on and the butterball, all that. But we're a full hour tonight.
I know.
People need to get ready.
Long show Friday kind of thing.
Yeah, no kidding. No longer short show. This is long show Friday, and it's exciting. But first, weather, Jim.
Yes.
Friday night, outside, if you take a look out the window, mostly cloudy. Low around 30 tonight, so you are going to need your electric blanket and your PJs, Jim. And then Saturday, mostly cloudy, high near 45. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 36. Then Sunday, mostly cloudy, high up to almost near 50. We're calling it 48, 47, 48 right now. But as always, WGCLradio.com, all your weather all the time. But yeah, Jack, full show Friday. This is exciting.
I'm going to Piller's
have to go out in the hallway and do some push-ups and get some wind sprints in to make sure I can make it through the whole show. Let's be honest, Jim. I mean, half the time I fall asleep right around the end of the show because I need my nap.
No.
But end of a long week, but that's all right.
It's all good. It's all good, except maybe for the folks who are trying to put together this graduate brand theme hotel, like the movie The Graduate, if I understand this correctly.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So here's the plan. According to the Herald Times, if you want to develop in Bloomington, you have to have the patience of Job. According to the commission member and Parks Board representative, Jane St. John, she broke the news this week to AJ Capital Partners that its graduate brand theme hotel would wait until February for another chance for downtown Bloomington approval. The sermon came in front of a packed house of Bloomington church members and leaders currently facing a culture clash of the 146-room hotel site plan on issues ranging from parking to its size, alcohol sales, and even a lack of communication between the two parties. St. John said to the Herald Times, "We've had so much friction and tension in all of our discussions. It's true about every minute detail in this town, but that's why people retire here." So all in all, the plan commission voted on Monday night to approve site plans for a new Old National Bank location, 306 East Kirkwood Avenue. But the hotel counterpart just west of Lincoln Street only gained 3 of the 5 necessary votes for plan approval after nearly an hour of public comment. The commission ended up voting 7-1 to hear the case again in 2 months after their January break, so they will reconvene on February 9th. One of the biggest parts of the discussion, parking, that remains the most sensitive issue because a lot of the nearby churches, including First Christian Church and First United Methodist, currently have handshake deals with ONB to use the properties in question. We've got about 500 feet of Kirkwood Avenue surface parking space and designated the parking lot on the northwest corner of 4th and Grant Streets as a related lot meant to serve the hotel and bank. That leaves the churches with limited parking options. The Plan Commission members also expressed concern regarding Indiana's liquor laws, which state that alcohol cannot be sold within 200 feet of a church or school. With the Graduates' adjacent location to First United Methodist Church, some were skeptical that a hotel of its size could be feasible or competitive without being able to sell alcohol at weddings or events, even at a dedicated bar restaurant. All of this after Monday evening still leaves some questions to be answered. There's even talk about the drive-through through the downtown area, but Old National Bank's proposed method of taking traffic from the west along Lincoln Street and moving it south down an alley instead of north on Kirkwood seems to be well received. We will see how this all shakes out, but I'm just wondering if there's going to be a big Mrs. Robinson leg on the front of this graduate hotel.
We're all about movie legs tonight, aren't we?
You know what? Kind of the Christmas theme of tonight's story. Show. Absolutely.
All right.
Get a leg up.
There you go.
As the song says.
Monroe County Democrat Chairman Trent Deckard stepping down. He announced in an email last weekend that is the case. As the head of the party here for the Monroe County Democrats, Deckard and his wife Kyla are expecting their second child next month. And in addition to his other duties as Democratic co-director of the Indiana Election Division, teaching at IUPUI, and working on his graduate degree, it would be too much to continue as party chair. On top of that, of course, there's another election next year, which we've already talked about. Trent said, I'm so grateful to have served as your party chair. This little townie kid has to pinch himself every once in a while for the tremendous job you've given me. There will be a Democratic caucus at 5:30 p.m. January 5th at City Hall and Council Chambers to elect a new party chair. Party treasurer Anthony Smith is also stepping down, so a new treasurer will be elected during the same caucus. Deckard said, we are grateful for Smith's leadership and commitment to our party, and we wish him well. Anyone interested in serving as Democratic chair or treasurer can email party secretary Efrit Pfefferman until 5:30 on January 2nd at information@monroedems.org. No other candidate filings will be accepted after that. No nominations will be allowed from the floor during the caucus.
On the legal side of the world, the defense attorney for the oldest son of rock star John Mellencamp says she's seeking a pretrial hearing, but no agreement has been reached for him to plead guilty to charges that he badly beat a man. From the Associated Press, attorney Jennifer Lukemeyer said on Tuesday this week, a miscommunication with a Monroe County court led it to incorrectly schedule a change of plea hearing for 20-year-old HUD Mellencamp. Mellencamp and his younger brother, Speck, have pleaded not guilty to felony battery charges from July 2013 for allegedly punching and kicking a 19-year-old man in Bloomington who they believed had hit Speck Mellencamp. A Monday pretrial conference for Speck Mellencamp was postponed until March.
All right, Jim, and Indiana has made it a three-peat. That's usually good if we're talking about soccer national championships or even in bowling, but not the case in this one. For the third straight year, the Hoosier State has been ranked as the 41st healthiest state in the country, according to the 2014 edition of America's Health Rankings. We have to remember that these reports are just a snapshot, not the gospel of what is going on, but I'm still a little disappointed with Indiana's ranking, said Penny Caudill, administrator of the Monroe County Health Department. Jim, healthiest state, did you see this? Who is it?
I would guess Colorado.
Good guess, of course, but Hawaii is the healthiest state, followed by Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Utah. Mississippi ranked as the 50th state, preceded by Arkansas, Louisiana, Kentucky, and Oklahoma. Go to see the full rankings, www.americashealthrankings.org. Indiana ranked 43rd in the percent of adults who are physically active and 42nd in the percent of adults who are obese, defined as having a body mass index of 30 or higher. The report showed that 31.8% of Hoosier adults are obese. In 1990, that figure was 15%, and it climbed to 20% in 2000 and 31.4% in 2013. There are no easy answers to the obesity problem, or we would have solved it by now, Caudill said. As a society, we are relying more on remote controls, our play is less active, and we are eating larger portions and processed foods filled with more sugar and fat. Some studies show people are stressed out and depressed, which affects how we eat and how active we are. Indiana ranked 48th in air pollution, micrograms of fine particles per cubic centimeter, 42nd in cancer deaths per 100,000 population, and 47th in public health funding. Caudill went on to say, I'm disappointed Indiana puts forth so few dollars and resources towards public health. Our local health department has a third to a half the staff needed for our population. Our staff works extremely hard, but their plates are full. And that's a little ironic, Jim. And there are limits to what they can do. That's true of other health departments across the state. Caudill added that health departments in conjunction with health care providers, hospitals, YMCA can't fix all of the problems. There are several bright spots. for the Hoosier State in the past 2 years. Smoking among Hoosier adults decreased 14% from 25.6 to 21.9%, lowering its smoking prevalence ranking from the 44th last year to the 39th this year. We also fared well, earning a 13th ranking in the percentage of children living in poverty, a 14th ranking in the incidence of infectious disease, and a number 7 rank in the percentage of adolescents getting immunized.
So we are number 44 in the country?
Overall, we are 41st. Healthiest. 41st.
Well, at least we made the top 45 out of 50.
Yeah. No, we talk about it all the time, though. In all seriousness, we know, and we talk about. You know, I know you work out, and you're
like
getting
I
after
should,
it.
Should, brother.
Well, no, none of us do it like we should. I would guess, but we do try to get out there. But and we talked about that running. We talked about that golfing. We've talked about a lot of different things people can do. It's that time of year where it's cold outside. It's a little bit more intimidating to go to the gym.
You leave in the morning and it's dark, and when you get home from work, it's dark.
Yeah.
It's all the whole combination. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more in the a little bit on the local side, plus David Letterman sets his retirement date. And you remember the guy that did the Numa Numa dance?
I do not, but I've seen it on Facebook.
It's interesting to hear where he's at today. We're going to take a break. Come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Little aha on your Friday night or Saturday morning if you're waking up with us here on the Bloomington Review on WGCL. Jim Inman and David Piller joining you for the big show Friday, big show Saturday.
Yeah,
full show.
And you know, the thing is, if you are with us on Friday night, I just tell you go ahead and listen again tomorrow. Same show, but it's just as good.
What do you same think? Verse. Or no, wait, second verse, same as the first.
Second verse, same as the first.
Something like that. Yes.
Do we get some more local news? Don't we? Or
yes.
You've got national stuff.
No.
You've got the national stuff. Go
what
ahead.
What have you got? I don't know what I've got.
I've got a couple local things here. You want to talk about
go
that?
Go local. Go local.
But, a man walked into a business on Bloomington's west side earlier this week, demanded money, and then left without any cash after the clerk said he had none to give. The clerk said the would-be robber pulled out what appeared to be a small handgun during the incident at Stemline, located in a strip mall off West 3rd Street, but he did not point it at him. According to the Bloomington Police Department, a clerk at Stemline reported that a suspicious-looking man who had been walking back and forth outside the store entered the business at 7:22 on Tuesday, placed a bank bag on the counter, and said, "Go ahead and fill it up." When the clerk told him that he could not open the cash register and had no access to the safe, the man left the store. He was described as a white male with a medium to large build, 5'11", wearing a camouflage ski mask and a blue coat. So, of course, obviously, if anyone has any information, call the local police.
How do you go in and commit a robbery and have the guts to do it and everything and then walk out?
Well, you know, we'd have to talk to my wife, a legal expert here, obviously, on the Bloomington Review, to find out what that is. I mean, I guess it's not a robbery because it didn't really take anything.
Right.
So it's probably some sort of intimidation charge. Again, this is where we need her here riding shotgun with us so we can go to that one.
Get the great Kurt Durnall back in the studio.
Well, that too.
Yes.
It's something a little bit more serious, unfortunately. Not unfortunate with the outcome, but the incident, obviously the whole picture. Jurors late Tuesday night acquitted a Salisbury man of causing the death of a woman driving her motorcycle when his van crossed the center line on Indiana 48 west of Bloomington and struck her last year. Larry Scott Euland, 50, was found not guilty of drunken driving resulting in death and driving with a blood alcohol content above 0.15 resulting in death. Tammy Hale died 4 hours after the crash, which happened November 10th, 2013, a Sunday afternoon. The 51-year-old Hale suffered multiple broken bones, a shattered pelvis, and massive internal bleeding. Defense attorney Kitty Lau presented medical evidence contending that Hale might have survived her injuries had she received a blood transfusion, which was declined because of religious beliefs, when she was being treated at IU Health Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis. Euland claimed that another vehicle forced his 97 Chevy Venture minivan off the two-lane rural highway. When he got the vehicle back on the road, the van crossed the center line and went into the path of Hale, who was wearing a helmet, driving her 2007 Yamaha Silverado motorcycle. Euland called 911 when the accident occurred. He admitted having a few drinks before the crash, but said he was not impaired. Lyle challenged the results of a blood test that indicated her client was beyond the legal limit for intoxication. She said Euland failed field sobriety test because of instability from an artificial hip. Monroe County Deputy Prosecutor Jeff Kerr said, "We understood going in that there were some difficulties with the case. Certainly we had hoped for a different outcome, but we respect the process and the jury's decision." So, again, kind of a sad situation all the way around. But, you know, it's another reminder when we see some of the things that are happening other places around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a legal system that allows everyone to get a fair shake. So I think that's what we take from anything that happens like this, that that people have a chance to defend their cases. People have the account of being held accountable as well when things happen. So
right.
We're very, very fortunate when you, again, when you look around the world theater of what's happening other places, and so we're very lucky.
Let's completely shift gears here for a second, because the big man in the red suit is coming to town in just 12, 13 days or something like that. So how much money does Santa really deserve for his job? According to Insured.com in a survey, if Santa were to receive a yearly salary, he would make just shy of $140,000 this year. This is a consumer insurance info website. They do an annual Santa index that the big guy received about a 1.5% raise this year, a little bit from just over $137,000 last year. Now, the thing about this is that, again, this is all for play and for fun. I mean, Santa, you know, he exists and he just works for free for the most part. Most interesting is that 29% of the population that took the survey think Santa should make nothing at all, whereas 29%, another 29, think he should make $1.8 billion. The survey was taken back in September by about 900 adults who said that Santa Claus has been to their homes before. Highest wages come from leading the workshop, which fits under the engineer category, and he's also serving as a pilot because of the sleigh capabilities as well. So, you know, Santa deserves a little bit of love, but I'm sure if he made that much money, he'd just turn it back over into American doll, girl dolls or something like that.
Gifts,
so,
Jim.
Yep. Okay, before we took the break, I mentioned this the Numa song. You said you have not heard this song before.
When you were talking about the song or playing the song, I've heard the song, but I've not seen the video.
Okay, so that's the lame version of it on my iPhone there, or not the iPhone anymore. I've switched, but that's another story.
That's a long story, folks.
Crazy.
This is only an hour show.
It's
only an hour show tonight when we have the 3-hour Bloomington Review Marathon, which we'll tell you about later.
We won't
maybe.
Be doing that.
Then
no.
We'll talk about Jim's transition from the iPhone to the Samsung Galaxy.
Those poor people.
Yes.
Okay, well, when you hear the Numa song, if you're probably under the age of 40 or so, and you follow anything on the internet, this is one of the first big viral videos, and it's 10 years old now. It came out in December 2004. The guy, Gary Brolsma, he was 19 years old. He posted a video of himself singing this song, Dragoste Tende or something like that. But he's kind of a heavyset kid. He's got glasses, a gray t-shirt on. And he's doing all this dancing in front of his webcam. But this came out, this is what I didn't realize also, it came out before YouTube came out.
Yeah.
YouTube is 10 years old in February this year. It's not even 10 years old. The Numa Numa video has been viewed more than 700 million times. It was on South Park. And this New Jersey kid, I mean, he's basically, 10 years later, he really didn't get the claim to fame with it, so to speak. Some of these videos, like there's the kid who sings Chocolate Rain, and he looks like he's 10 years old with glasses, but he sounds like a 50-year-old, Darth Vader, James Earl Jones.
Yeah.
I'm just more amazed that I remember when this video came out, and I'm thinking it's 10 years old. That's all I'm saying. And I can tell you are so impressed, Mr. Pillar, right now with this riveting conversation.
Well, it's pop culture history. That's the thing.
It's okay. It is okay. We are going to take a break when we come back. A little bit of acknowledgement of the holiday season, because Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is 50 years old, the Christmas special. And there's 12 different facts that you may not know about Rudolph that I found online, and we'll share here in a couple minutes. But later on, again, if you're catching us Friday night, Southport at Bloomington South at 7 o'clock in just a little bit, so make sure that you don't turn that dial, even though my riveting conversation of Numa Numa might have convinced you to do so.
I don't think so. This is a great game. This is a great game. I'd stay tuned for this one, folks.
I know it.
Hang
in. It is. It is. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Pillar with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. You can also head over to WGCLradio.com and catch up on the past shows over there and stream the audio, listen to other WGCL programming, all of that as well. So check out WGCLradio.com. Rudolph, whoa, little echo. Sibilance. Isn't that what they used to say on the Saturday Night Live? Never mind. I'm in my own little world. I can already feel it tonight. You said it was like riding a bike, Mr. Pillar. Yeah. I think I fell off a little bit.
We'll get your training wheels out. Let me go to the WGCO closet. I'll move the red carpet out of the way and go find your training wheels.
Oh, goodness. All right. Gene Autry made the song famous, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and came to life 50 years ago on television. And it started airing in 1964, Arthur Rankin, Jules Bass, and it was actually filmed in Japan in a form known as stop motion animation. We've all seen the whole Rudolph and Yukon Cornelius and all that kind of stuff. But
Hermes in there.
Yes.
The dentist.
Yep. And anyway, Mashable.com has 12 things you need to know about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that maybe you didn't know. Number one seems pretty obvious to me. The puppets were not made to last forever. The way they had to spray paint them and everything to make them look good on television, they actually made it through the production, and that was about it. Number two, Rudolph, the one that you see on television, it's actually about the same size as what he really was. He measured 4 inches high. Santa Claus stood about 8 inches tall. And the infamous Bumble was a whopping 14 inches tall.
That's cool.
What's cool about the Bumbles? Do you remember what Yukon Cornelius said about Bumbles?
I don't.
Bumbles bounce.
No.
That's how the... Never mind. Yeah, it's just... I'm telling you, I'm just fascinated by all this. So the special to record Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer took 18 months and 22 room-size sets to complete. Apparently in Japan, this was made by MOM Production Studios, and the different scenes of them on the water and at Santa's, the North Pole and everything, 22 rooms to make that all happen. 2 days the animator spent studying deer to create Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That's cool.
Yeah. Apparently, who do you know the guy's name who narrates? The old man?
Oh, when you say it, I'll know it.
Burl Ives.
Burl Ives, yep. Okay.
So Burl Ives is the guy who sings Silver and Gold in there and is dressed as, or appears as the snowman. But apparently, before Burl Ives was tapped to narrate, Larry Mann, who is the guy who voices Yukon Cornelius in Rudolph, actually did a version of the narration, but he did it as a Brooklyn, New York native.
Mm.
Can't really imagine Brooklyn, New York in as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Made more than 200 puppets of Rudolph for the animated special. They all had built-in joints. And it is, as Mr. Pillar said a moment ago, it is Hermie, not Herbie the elf.
Oh, it's Hermie, yeah.
Yeah, the elf who wants to be a dentist. A lot of people were not sure of what his actual name was. And in 1998, there was merchandise marketed with the name Herbie on it. So just in case you...
He was a love bug, Jim, not an elf.
That's exactly right. Everybody knows the type of animation if you've watched Rudolph and all of that. It took 24 frames to create 1 second of filmed animation. So in that 1 second, 28 very minor poses to make the whole thing go. Silver and Gold, the song that sung by Burl Ives, as we mentioned. Actually, Yukon Cornelius was supposed to have sung the song in the original film. The Misfit Doll... You go to the island of Misfit Toys. There's the little doll on there who really has nothing visibly wrong with her. So a lot of people have asked over the years, and especially with the internet and boardrooms and chat rooms and things like that, what exactly was her problem? So some wondered if it was her lack of a real nose, but Arthur Rankin, who is the co-creator of the special, has said that she was depressed because her owner didn't want her anymore and she felt unloved. And apparently this year, well, I guess they did do this. This year they did a variety of marketing with people from, stars from CBS television celebrating 50 years of Rudolph and Rudolph and Sam the Snowman strolling along the CBS studios. Again, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer started off as a Macy's department store venture back way back when, and then Gene Autry did the song. And then your kids probably tune into it. Charlie Brown's Christmas is the big one.
Is
that yours?
Well, I love Rudolph. I really do. I really do like Rudolph. But Charlie Brown, that's tough to beat. Jeez.
Plus, there's also the kind of offshoots. There's like Rudolph and Frosty's New Year or something like that. You just stick with the classics. Rudolph, Charlie Brown, and the Grinch.
Yeah.
Those are the three. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk some sports. The Hoosiers have been in action, both the men's and ladies basketball teams. And then we've also got some Colts action coming up as well. And as Mr. Pillar has mentioned before, a big night here on high school football, on high school basketball.
Oh, Jim, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So let's get all that up for you here in just a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Plenty to talk about in the sports arena, and Mr. Pillar has been chomping at the bit to get back into the groove. Just take it away, sir.
Well, yeah, the big news, I think, is local high school basketball. What a great night here on Friday night. If you're with us on Friday night, you've got a lot of great options tonight to check out. If you're with us Saturday morning, check those scores, because hopefully some of the local teams got some wins. But the big news, we've got a tip-off here at the top of the hour, 7 o'clock. Joe Smith and the guys will be at Bloomington High School South. As 2-0 Southport, the Cardinals are coming down 37 to take on Bloomington South in South's gym. Former Bloomington South assistant Kyle Simpson, in his third year at Southport, is bringing the Cardinals into town to take on his mentor, J.R. Holmes. The Panthers 2-1. Southport features 6'10 junior Joey Brunk, who is being recruited by most every team in the Big Ten and a lot of the other national powerhouses. But, boy, Kyle does a great job with his team, and this is going to be a good game with Bloomington South snapping back after losing their first one to New Albany. Came back with wins, Bedford, and if I'm not mistaken, Floyd Central was the other one. So they beat Bedford and Floyd Central, so they kind of ran through the Hoosier Hills Conference last weekend. But now Conference Indiana game tonight. Again, varsity tip will be about 7:30, 7:45. They've extended JV games this year, so that's going to cause these to go a little bit later. But check out Joe Smith with JR tonight. Again, Kyle Simpson, good luck to both the guys. Hope the kids have a great game. I know they will. Perry Meridian, also from Perry Township, right up there on 37. Southport's kind of rival will be in town to take on the Cougs. Cougs 3-0. Andy Hodson has them rolling with a great win with a buzzer beater over Center Grove last weekend to make the Cougs 3-0 again. It should be a fun one. Over at North Gym, Tom McKinney Court, and then Edgewood on the road at the Hatchet House, the house that the Zellers helped build, Washington, Indiana. 2-1 Edgewood, 1-2 Washington, and should be another great one. If you're with us on Saturday morning, as soon as you're done with the Bloomington Review, stay tuned for Your Money with David Hayes. When you're done with that, go head over to South again as Castle. The Castle Knights from Southern Indiana are coming in for an 11:30 varsity tip-off against the Lady Panthers. Again, just a great Friday-Saturday night of basketball. The Hoosiers are taking on Grand Canyon University, Jim.
I didn't know there was a Grand Canyon University.
There is, and their coach is Thunder Dan Marley, who played for the Phoenix Suns, among several other teams. But Dan Marley was a very popular NBA player. Played on some pretty good teams in Phoenix, but he's bringing his Grand Canyon, if I'm not mistaken, the Coyotes are coming for a 5 o'clock, thank you very much, Big Ten Network, a 5 o'clock tip at Assembly Hall. And you might be thinking, Grand Canyon, okay, the record's 3-4, 4-3, something like that. But over the last couple, last week or so, the Wolverines were defeated. Michigan was defeated by the New Jersey Institute of Technology last weekend. Keep in mind, Jim, this is a team that's in their fourth year of Division I, and they went 59 straight games without a win from 2009 to 2011.
Ouch.
So the New Jersey Institute of Technology beat Michigan. Michigan lost again this past week to Eastern Michigan. Not as big of an upset, but still an upset. North Florida beat Purdue last week. And then just the other night, I've got it written down so I say it right. Kelly's been on me all week. Incarnate Word University, it's a team that I think IU played their women earlier in the year, but Incarnate Word beat Nebraska at Nebraska, who, and of course Nebraska's Big Ten Hoosier foe on New Year's this year, but they won on a shot with under 5 seconds. Incarnate Word, just in case you're wondering, San Antonio, Texas, the alma mater of the guy that played Carlos in Desperate Housewives, Jim. That's what I've got for you there on that. But anyway, the Hoosiers are 7-2. Lost to Louisville earlier in the week. Louisville's number 4 in the country. They're looking at a game against Kentucky coming up right after Christmas before New Year's. The best thing that came from that game, Hoosiers, of course, got to play their first game away from Assembly Hall. They've got a big one with Butler coming up at the Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. They've got a big one with Georgetown coming up next week, back in the New York City area, this time at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And so just a lot of different things coming up for the Hoosiers. They've got this one. They've got New Orleans. So they've got a couple games that they should win, but a couple games, Butler, Georgetown, then kicking off the Big Ten season with Nebraska. But the other good thing that came out of that game is some more discussion about can the Hoosiers and the Cardinals from Louisville get some games on the schedule instead of just these tournament games. Can they get on the regular schedule? Rick Pitino says he's not interested in a game on campus. He said Tom's not interested. Tom Crean wants any more home-at-homes either. But what Pitino did say, he said, let's go up to Lucas Oil Stadium. Let's try to get 60 to 80,000 people in there, and let's try to break the record. The single-game record right now, 79,444, set in the Final Four this past year at Texas, Arlington, Texas, at the Cowboy Stadium. So Pitino thinks they can do it. I'd imagine Coach Crean thinks they can do it. So maybe we'll see that in the future. IU Ladies Hoops, 8-1 overall. Playing over the weekend, Sunday, Jim, I think, against at Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Again, 8-1, lost to Indiana State. Otherwise, playing really nice basketball. And then that takes us into a little bit of football talk. Tevin Coleman, of course, a finalist for the Doak Walker Award. Also named a USA Today All-American First Teamer. So congratulations to him. The big question right now is, of course, will he declare for the NFL draft? We'll have to see. The Colts are hosting the Texans. I'm guessing the roof's going to be closed because it is supposed to be just 48 degrees, but no rain, no snow. Texans at the Colts. Colts win. That should seal up the AFC South and hopefully put us into the playoffs. But that also, Jim, starts off NFL here on WGCL starting at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Texans and Colts with the pregame again at noon Sunday night. Cowboys and the Eagles, a huge, huge game in the NFC East. Winner will be in the first place driver's seat there. Monday night football this week, the Saints visit Chicago to take on the Bears. That's a must-win for the Saints, and the Bears are about done. And then next Thursday, again, WGCO Radio, your home for the NFL, the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not exactly a battle of heavyweights, but still a battle of AFC South Colts opponents. What else we got? That's about it. Pacers are really struggling right now, even after getting a couple people back, and they've lost 6 or 7 in a row. Doug Hughes will have to be in, and he'll be your expert on that. And then
you went to a Pacers game this week,
didn't you?
We've
been to a couple Pacers games recently. Yeah, Kelly and I have been to a couple. We saw the Atlanta Hawks earlier in the week, and then we saw they beat the 76ers when we were there. They got thumped on by the Hawks earlier this week, but still a fun time. You know, it's a great, just such a beautiful, beautiful venue. And then
yes,
one more good news, piece of good news for IU football. They landed a 3-star wide receiver, but they didn't come from where you might think he came from. Usually when we talk about 3-star, 4-star recruits, we're talking about high school All-Americans or something like that. IU has actually signed on wide receiver Marquis Hawkins, who is coming to the Hoosiers from the University of Alabama, Birmingham. And if you've not been following that, Jim, UAB cut their football program. 6-6 record, first time in a long time they were bowl eligible. And the folks at the university said the fact that the sport was going to cost them over $50 million in the next 6 years, they just couldn't justify it. So the University of Alabama, Birmingham, cut their football program.
Wow.
No one, unfortunately, took them for a bowl game, even though they were bowl eligible. Because just because you're eligible doesn't mean you automatically
right.
get one. I think there were 48 spots for 51 eligible teams, and UAB was one of the three that got left out. So Marquis Hawkins comes to the Hoosiers with 3 years of eligibility left, and those kids, you hate to see that their program's taken away from them like that. But money talks, and these guys are all going to get a chance to go play somewhere else. So best of luck and welcome to Bloomington, Marquis Hawkins.
Nice sports reporting, Mr. Pillar. Glad you're back,
brother.
That's what I'm saying. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about David Letterman and wrap up the show. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a few minutes left in the show. Thanks so much to everybody who's tuned in tonight, Friday night, and leading up to the big game down at Bloomington High School South. Southport coming down to Bloomington, and game chalk talk at 7 o'clock with Joe Smith and the crew, and then tip off at 7:30 tonight. If you're catching us Saturday morning, stay with us for the replay of Your Money with David Hayes as well. Mr. Pillar, not a wintry forecast for the weekend.
No, it's not terrible. It really isn't terrible. Again, if you're with us here Friday night, mostly cloudy, low around 30. Saturday morning into the day, mostly cloudy, high near 45. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, low around 36. Sunday, it's going to warm up a little bit more. Again, mostly cloudy, calling 47, 48 degrees. But all your weather all the time, WGCLradio.com.
Didn't you and Kelly, when you went to New York, didn't you get to go see David Letterman?
We did. Thanks to Kelly's ability to hit those trivia questions, we got our free tickets. And we had a great time when we were there. Who was there again? Kelly is with us now, in case you're listening at home.
She's giving us the smile from a distance, but don't put the microphone in front of my face.
The girl from Glee.
Leah Michelle,
yeah. And then Chromeo,
the group that I like, yes.
And then Andy Kindler, comedian that was just here in Bloomington a couple months ago. He's a funny guy. You'd know him if he's just one of those you'd know him if you saw him type guys that he's been around. So, yeah, but Dave has announced that this is it.
Big retirement.
And guess when his last show is? Pretty special day, May 20th. And Kelly's making a face because that's her birthday. May 20th is his sign-off from CBS. It's the late show. The date coincides with the end of the TV season. And Stephen Colbert, of course, will be taking over when the show starts back up new in September. So they don't have an idea of what they're going to do over the summer, but I'm guessing, you know, reruns and best-ofs and all that stuff like that. He's been on there 22 years, Jim, since 1993, and all he will have hosted a total between that and NBC's Late Night. Total 6,028 episodes of the two shows. That's so cool.
So he will actually have taken over tenure-wise what Johnny Carson did, because Carson was on for 30 years. I don't know how many shows.
That's a tough one.
Carson retired in 92. So, yeah.
Well, Craig Ferguson will be done around that same time as well. He's off. Since he didn't get Letterman, he's going to be replaced by British actor and comedian James Corden in March. And then, obviously, Colbert will be done with his Comedy Central show. You know, it'd be cool to see who Letterman has on there. You know, I think Jay Leno, when he was done the first time, I think Garth Brooks might have been one of his guests,
maybe
if I'm not
Will
mistaken.
Will Ferrell, or maybe Will was the first guest.
Will Ferrell, I think, might have been with Conan.
That's right.
But
That's right.
The one thing I would almost guarantee is Dave will have the Foo Fighters on.
Dave will have Foo Fighters. He'll have Bill Murray. Because Bill Murray loves him. I would love to see, this goes back way, way, way back, and I don't know if she could do it anymore, Terry Garr. Do you remember Terry Garr?
I do remember Terry Garr.
She was in Mr. Mom and a variety of movies, but she has multiple sclerosis now, so she's not really able to walk anymore, but she was a big-time guest in the NBC days of David Letterman.
Yeah. I'd like to see him have Madonna or Drew Barrymore, one of those types that just drove him nuts. Or, well, gosh, you know, he had a lot of Oprah. That'd be a big one. Yeah, there she is.
Kelly, your mic is on, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. She's our pop culture correspondent, as well as our legal correspondent, our traffic correspondent here on the Bloomington Review. So, hey, Jim, that's the music. That means we've got about a minute left of the show.
Yes, it does, sir.
That means we've got the music. That means we've got the news at the top of the hour, and then we're going to bounce past it to Joe Smith for Chalk Talk tonight with JR at Bloomington South, Southport at South. We've got the Nutcracker this weekend in Indianapolis. We've got the Colts game. The Hoosiers on Saturday. I'll be down on the bench. You're heading to do some
functions. I'm
going
to buy some Christmas presents and all kinds of stuff this weekend. So
hopefully I'm on the nice list.
Time is getting away relatively quickly this season for some reason. So, well, we will be back next week. And again, impress your friends with the Rudolph trivia. And if you didn't like it, well, you know, it's still a little something different. Everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.